If you have your Bibles, and I hope you have, would you turn with me to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11 and verse 1. Hebrews, chapter number 11 and verse number 1. The divine text says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his testimony, translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Father, bless this holy word. I'm simply the vessel, Lord, the messenger. Thou art God. Jesus, in thy name I pray. Amen. You can be seated. This morning, I want you to get serious about what you believe. Nothing defines the life of a Christian more than their faith. There is nothing that separates you more from this world than what you believe. You believe something. If you are truly born again by the grace of God today, you believe something. And what you believe has a profound effect upon the way you live your life. If you don't live your life based upon what you believe, you have fantasies of notion in your mind, because that is not Bible faith. Bible faith will change you. Amen. Bible faith will affect the friends that you have and the things that you do. So therefore, there is nothing, no single thing in a person's life that defines them more than faith. Holiness, righteousness, justification, propitiation, these are wonderful things. But my friend, none of them really have any meaning unless you have real Bible faith. The promise is that without faith it is impossible to please Him, please God. There is something about the nature of God that demands faith from us. It has to do with His character, first of all, because God's Word is a revelation and an extension of God Himself. And so therefore, to refuse His Word, to deny His Word, to disbelieve His Word, is to disbelieve God and cast a shadow upon His character. The Bible says it is impossible for Him to lie. So if God said it, that's good enough. It's up to me to believe it. And by the grace of the Holy Spirit, I can believe far beyond human ability to do so. Don't trust in yourself to believe. Don't reach down in yourself to try to find faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so the Bible says that he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. I hope you're seeking Him. That should be a lifelong endeavor to seek God, to want to know all you can know about Him, to want to know Him in as deeply a manner as you possibly can, to begin to understand His soul and begin to feel His feelings, to see as He sees and to hear as He hears. There's nothing greater for a human being than to have something like that affect your life, is to be really moved by the person and power and presence of God. The Apostle Paul says that I want to know Him. I want to know Him. I want to know Him. And he wasn't talking about salvation. He was talking about a deeper understanding and walk with the Lord. Make no mistake about this. The deeper you get into God, the deeper you'll understand God. And the more you'll know yourself. And the more you know yourself, the more you'll see how desperately you need Him in every part of your being. Your mind, your soul, your spirit, your love, your want, your everything there is that defines you. The more you know of God, the more you're going to know that you need Him. And He's always there, hallelujah to God, to give you what you need. He's inexhaustible. There's a well so deep you'll never find the bottom. So when you begin to tap into God, you're going to tap into one that is from everlasting to everlasting. He's the answer for your soul. He's the lover of your soul. And so the book of Hebrews introduces us to the doctrine of faith. It is the faith chapter. And oh, what a marvelous chapter it is. But I'm going to talk first of all about some of the things that are the enemies of your faith. They're faith killers before we go into the actual stages of your faith. The climbing up, the rising up, the more that you understand, because faith unto faith, faith adds to faith. Add this to your faith. Faith will grow as you live this life. Faith will be purified as you move through the earth. And faith will one time come to a place of maturity if you let it do that. But the enemies of faith are these. I'll give you five. Neglecting the Word of God. There is no way that you can expect to walk in faith and walk in pleasing with God and neglect His Word. You should set aside a time every day of your life when you open the Bible and begin to read it. Then let it read you. Then pray the Scriptures. And pray the Scriptures to God. Let Him pray them back to you. Open the Word of God and take it in like you're hungry and you're thirsty. And say, Lord, I've opened this book today. I want to hear something from You. I need something from this blessed book. That's what reading the Bible is about. It's not an intellectual approach to it. It's a hungry soul that said, Lord, this is Your Word. Take it into your closet. Sit down with it for a while and read it. And then when you've read it for a while, get on your knees and start talking to the Lord. Talk to Him back what you just read from His Word. You'll be amazed at how He confirms and affirms what He has written. The second thing that is the enemy of faith is human reason. It's the natural man. It's seeing things the way the eye sees them and try to contemplate and understand and work it all out in your head. Remember one more time, I have to tell you this. If you can understand everything and you've got it all figured out, then you're the one in control and not God. And that's a mark of pride. That's a deep-seated mark of pride. There are places God's going to take you to you didn't know existed. There are places He can take you to that He'll show you things that you didn't even know were there. And then, my friend, there's no way that a human mind can comprehend and take in the greatness and the fullness of Almighty God. You started on a journey, and it has begun. But that journey will get deeper and sweeter as the days go on. And then the third thing that is the enemy of faith is bad counsel. A lot of people listen to an awful lot of people when you need to turn them off. People are well-meaning, but they're not going to help you, folks, if they haven't been where you've been. Quoting Scripture's good. The Word of God is powerful. But my friend, there are places that you've got to walk before you can tell other people what it's like. In plain words, you can't minister what hasn't been ministered to you. If you've been there, done that, felt that, hurt there, sorrowed there, and then brought up out of that pit, you can tell somebody how God did it for you and how He can do it for you and how He did it for me and He'll do it for you, and He's still the same yesterday, today, and forever. And then another bad hindrance of enemy of faith is sin. And sin is the great scourge of all of us. Every last one of us in this house today, we got a problem with sin. But thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. For the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses our sins away. And here's the promise. Here's the promise. If you confess your sin, He is faithful and just to forgive you of your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Satan will get you to sin, lead you to sin, and then lie to you about being forgiven and being delivered from the power of sin. You see, not only does he lead you into it, he holds you in it. If you can't trust God and believe what he says in his word about sin, you'll never break the bonds of it. God's got to do that. You can't do that on your own. And then finally, there's Satan. Satan himself, he is the enemy of God and he's the enemy of man. And you've got to understand that Satan hates your soul and wants to drag you down into destruction and oblivion. This can't be a message about Satan. I've got more to preach this morning. But if you only understood how powerful and how wicked your enemy is, you'd fall on your knees and you'd beg God for grace to deal with that wicked foe. He walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the what? Faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. There are three kinds of faith we find in the Bible. Little faith. He said to them, O ye of little faith. He said to the disciples when the sea began to rage and he was asleep in the hold. And they said, Master, carest not thou that we perish? Do you know the answer to that? Do you know the answer to that? Have you ever been where you thought you might perish and you didn't know if he cared if you perished or not? My friend, have you ever faced death? Have you ever walked in it with a shadow of it on your soul, not knowing if your heart's going to beat for the last time? Have you ever been there where you think to yourself, my time may be up. This may be it. My days may be numbered. I may be about ready to live. Do you care, Lord? And then here, have him put his arms around you and speak into your ear and say, I love you. I love you. And then begin to talk to you about what he's going to do and what he intends to do with your life and what he intends to do in your life. Listen, friend, there's nothing like that. There's nothing like that. There's nothing in this world greater than to know that if you close your eyes for the last time on this earth, you'll open them in glory. There's no greater assurance than that. Master, carest thou not that we perish? Oh, he cares. Cast your care upon him, for he careth for you. Then there was the man who said, Lord, the father, he cried out, God, I believe. Oh, I believe, Lord, I do. There's something down inside me that says, believe you, trust you. But oh, there's so many doubts too that plague me. So many things that just eat at me. Lord, help thou mine unbelief. Oh boy, have you ever seen him quench somebody's faith, stomp them out and stomp them down? No, he won't do that. Oh no, Satan does that. You have as much faith as a grain of mustard seed in this house today. That faith can grow. Is there anything in you that believes him? Is there just a little bit in there that believes the Bible? You believe in his goodness and his mercy and his grace? You believe he's able? Just a little bit. I know you may have doubts. That's little faith. But we all start with little faith. But you see, little faith is the school of chastening. It's a schoolhouse. It's where God takes you. And he puts you in that schoolhouse. Remember this. Chastening is for your good. And it's that area that he begins to open you up and show you where you need him in ways you never knew you needed him. But oh boy, how that schoolhouse, how it works, because he makes no mistakes. And he begins to show you places in your life of pride and where it's deep-seated and rooted in your very being. Then he begins to show you how that pride is the enemy of God. It's the enemy of your relationship with the Lord. And it's the very opposite of humility. It is in that school of chastening that he begins to hammer out and inbred into you humility, because he shows you how wondrous humility is in the sight of God. Not arrogance, not ability, not intellect, not performance, not achievement, but humility. He said of Moses that he was a meek and humble man. And the Bible said when God spoke to Moses, he spoke to him face to face. You say, well, preacher, then I need to become humble. That's okay. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. He'll take care of that. Just don't fight him when he does. Are you listening to me? Don't fight him when he does. Agree with him. When the Holy Spirit begins to move in your heart and in your life, don't resist him. Don't fight. Don't make excuses. Don't say, oh, woe is me. Why is this happening to me? But agree with him and say, Lord, I know this. I know nothing could happen to me except you allow it to happen to me. That's submitting yourself unto the power of God, unto his will, his word. So that school, it's a good school. And he'll take you there. You've been there. Anybody in the house been there? You've been there? You've been that school? You've been there? Did he show you humility when you got in there? Did he show you submissiveness? Did he show you how that you need to come out of there and leave some things behind? In that school of humility is a school that prepares you for a much higher place, much higher place. You see, there was a centurion that said, Lord, I've got a servant, and I'm in control of men. And he came to him and he said, I can speak to this one and they do it, or I command here and it happens. He said, just say the word, and my servant will be healed. And he said, oh my, what great faith. I haven't seen in all the children of Israel. He said, go thy way. Thy servant is healed. That's great faith. That's a step up from little faith. That's rising up. But you got to get through little faith first. You got to pass the test. You got to be tried. As Brother Knapsiger said in Sunday school in 1 Peter, the trying of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth. Oh, it's a precious thing. It's precious when that's all you got left. But that's what God wants you to have. When all your goods and all your health and all the people and everything else is just outside and it's just you and Him. The only thing that'll matter to you is your faith. Make no mistake about it. It'll be your faith, and it's going to be tried. Now, God tries it. Temptations may come. God puts the trial on you, and in the trial, temptations may show up. But the Bible said God tempteth no man with evil. But you see, the fact that you're being tried, it may make you vulnerable to temptations. You see how that works? God Almighty can take them because He'll raise you up out of the dustbin. He'll bring you up out of the dunghill. He'll raise you up as He did Mephibosheth, and He'll bring you to the king's table. Great faith, great faith. Now, folks, I'm not telling you I've got great faith this morning. Not for a minute. I'm telling you I have faith. I'm telling you I'm a believer. And I'm telling you I've been to school. I'm telling you I've been put in a place where I had to depend upon Him. I'm telling you I've been put where I had to cry out to Him. And then God starts talking to me. He's been talking to me for weeks now. He's been talking to me day in and day out and day in and day out. And He's begun to show me things. He begun to show me stuff. And He said, now this is why you did that, and this is why you said that, and this was what was going on in here. And I said, I know it, Lord. I know it was. I can see it now. I understand it. I understand why I said this, or why I prayed this prayer, or why I feared that, or why this happened. All this stuff's going on in my soul and in my spirit. And do you know what I did? I agreed with Him. I agreed with Him. I agreed with Him. And then there's that last element of faith, which is mature faith. What's mature faith? It's faith at rest in Him. It's faith that comes up to a point to where He went through trial, little faith, and then moved through great faith. But God doesn't end it there. He takes you to mature faith. What's that? That's Abraham taking Isaac to the top of Moriah and said, I and the boy will return. He said, we'll come back. In other words, don't know how it's going to work, but we're coming back. That's resting faith. That's mature faith. That's resting in God. Now that mature faith is wrought in a man who says, when he stood outside Sodom and Gomorrah. Do you remember what he said? Do you remember what he said to the Lord outside of Sodom when he began to intercede, when he spoke of himself? Here's what Abraham said. Now, many of you know, he said, who am I but dust and ashes to speak unto the Lord God Almighty? That's what he called himself, dust and ashes. That's a humble man. That's a servant of the Lord. That's a man that acknowledges his Lord. When you get to that point of mature faith that rests in Him, you're saying to Him, you're the Lord, you're Master, you're my Master. Anything you say goes, it's okay. You're acknowledging His Lordship. You see, the last book in the Bible, the book of Revelation, the Apocalypse, the unveiling, the opening up of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know that the supreme character of Christ in the book of Revelation, you know what it is? The Bible says that the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that He's what?
Lord.
Lord. It's His Lordship that they fall down before and they worship Him. He brings you to a place of worship. It's hard to worship God in spirit and in truth if you're so insecure and uncertain about what's happening, right? The Bible said, he'll keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on Thee. Acknowledge Him in all Thy ways, He said. So many scriptures in the Bible that relate to the fact that, Lord, I appreciate that breath. Lord, I feel that heartbeat. Lord, the sun's shining. Lord, I got somewhere to go sit down and eat. Lord, I'm not going to hell. Do you connect what I'm saying here? This confidence that we have in Him. Confidence, not in me. I don't have any confidence in me. The Apostle Paul put no confidence in the flesh. Confidence is in Him, but He earns it. He earns your respect. He earns your confidence. He earns your trust. Mature faith arrives at the same time that humility does in a man or a woman that puts their complete trust in Him. The Bible said the Lord knoweth them that trust in Him. It's hard to trust in Him if your child has a fever of 104. It's hard to trust in Him if you just got word that your loved one was in a car wreck and they don't know if they're going to live. It's hard to trust. The natural man can't trust. That's when you fall on your knees and say, Jesus, I believe. Don't know how much I believe, but I believe. You understand me? Is there anybody in this house this morning that completely understands when I say, you fall on your knees and you say, Jesus, I believe. Do you believe? You don't know how much you believe. You don't have to worry about how much you believe. You'll find out how much you believe. He'll take care of that part. He'll take care of that part. Do you believe? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Oh, yes. Virgin born? Do you believe it takes the blood of Christ to cleanse your sins? Absolutely. Do you believe He's worthy? He's worthy. I love Him. Father, I bless Thy holy name in the name of Jesus. I'm here today because of Thee. My life is in Thy hands. And that's where it should be. That's where it ought to be. And the life of every soul in this house should be in Thy hands. We should lift up our head toward Thee this morning, freely acknowledge that in You we live and move and have our being, and of ourselves we're worth nothing. But to You, You went to the cross and died for me. Lord, if there's one sitting in this house this morning that has no idea of who You are, they've never been to the cross. They've never been convicted. They've never had their sins cleansed away. I pray for that soul. I pray for them that they'd understand how much You love them, how much You want to save them, how much You want to change them. Thank You for Don Bradley. Thank You, Lord. That was as clear a miracle as I've ever seen in my years in this church. He had a problem in his back. And You heal that man. I bless Your holy name, healer. Holy, holy, holy. Lord God Almighty, thank You for healing Don Bradley. Lord Jesus, in Thy name, your heads are bowed and eyes are closed and nobody looking. You're going to be in school now. You're going to be in school. You're going to be in school. It's a good school. It's got a good headmaster. He runs it well. He knows exactly what he's doing. When you get there, agree with him. Don't fight him. And he'll bring you through it. He'll raise you up. Is there anybody in this house this morning who says, Preacher, I know exactly what you're talking about. I've got a problem in my life, and I've dealt with it and fought with it and worried with it, and I just can't do anything about it. But I want God to help me. All right. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Lord Jesus, You've seen the hands. This is Your service. Thank You for giving me strength this morning. Thank You. Thank You. Thank You. In Thy name we pray. Amen. Let's stand up, brother.
Page 333 in your All-American Church.
And all my heart,
Sing another verse, brother. Give God glory this morning. I've told you two or three times now about Don Bradley. God healed him. The other night at the funeral in Lenore City, about 5 o'clock in that afternoon, I was so weak and so tired, I had to go to bed and lay down for a while. I don't have any reserve right now. I'm just weak. I have to build up strength. I got no reserve. I get to a point, I just collapse. I'm done. And that's the way I felt Thursday. I said, Lord, I can't go preach a funeral tonight if you don't do something to help me. And I laid down in that bed, laid there for a while, started feeling a little better. I was still weak and tired. But my daughter drove me, my wife and I, to Lenore City. I didn't even drive, couldn't drive. But when I got up in that pulpit Thursday night, I felt the power of God. There's no explanation for it. My body was not... But I felt power. I felt power. Real power. Folks, you need the Lord. We need Him. We need Him. And I want to glorify Him with all that's in me. I want everything about my life and my mouth to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ. Brother Knapsiger was talking.